I've got to ask, at the time of the Indiana primary, when Bobby Kennedy and the other candidates were running around, that was also the time Bill Crawford in this city and county, when besides who's going to win the Indiana primary, who's going to run on the Democratic side in 1968, who's going to run on the Republican side for president in 1968, there were also these discussions about changing Indianapolis government at the same time. It all kind of happened in 68 going into 69.
Yes, that you're correct in that.
As I understand it, there were a lot – I mean, it was not a secret by then. There was discussions everywhere about what to do, how to do it.
Yeah, Amos, and I was speaking at a Washington Township Club last week or so, and I recalled to them that was the first time that I had ever went to the legislature to lobby. Mm-hmm. Glenn Howard had a concept. We had a group, Movement for Opportunity and Equality, and 35 of us registered as lobbyists. I don't know if I still have that picture when I had the official certification from Secretary of State. I think we had to pay $2. But I went down to lobby against Unigov, and I can recall the conversation I had with then Representative Ray Crow, and Ray listened. But it was an opportunity for people to petition their government for redress of their grievance.
And at-large council seats were always a part of the plan from day one.
Absolutely. And it was a principle integral to the plan to make sure that those in the suburbs, not the inner city, right, those in the suburbs would always have representation and a voice.
And if I also understand it, the plan, the original plan, gave the mayor power over city departments, but the mayor had no power over the sheriff, over the auditor, over the coroner, over the county prosecutor, over the county treasurer or the county clerk.
And that's correct, because they were constitutional offices, most of them. And you cannot alter the duties of a constitutional officer without changing the state constitution. And they chose not to do that. And the mayor, and the other evidence of that was that you've got mayors in Beech Grove and Lawrence, mm-hmm, and you've got township government in Southport and Speedway. And so you had these excluded, right, cities and towns where they retained the right to determine their own governance structure. And that was something we've lived with forever.
So nobody, we haven't been able to find anybody who supports this Unigov revision, this Unigov proposal. So I dared the Abdul guy. I dared him to, because he was co-hosting Unity in the Community with the mayor, because I guess the mayor can't co-host by himself. So I dared Abdul to bring it up. He did. I want to play that for you and the listeners and get your reactions, particularly Council President Lewis, to how the mayor describes this and some other things. He got the sheriff in it some kind of way.
Amos and I were having this debate on the radio yesterday, like we always do on Fridays. And there's the big fight over mass transit and Senate Bill 621. For those of you who don't know what Senate Bill 621 is, it's a measure that some of us would argue would just help continue the reform of Marion County government, because Unigov is 40-something years old. And guess what? Sometimes at 40, you're not the person you were at 30, you're not the person you were at 20, so you make some changes and adaptations. So there are a number of provisions in Senate Bill 621, and it had a companion bill in the House. Once it was like 1138.
Yeah, I don't know what the
number was. I can't remember what the number was. They kind of streamline some of the process, give the mayor a little bit more authority with some budgets and appointments and et cetera. My Democratic friends have yelled and screamed to the top of their lungs, and so I wrote in my Indianapolis Star column this week that you would think that you were the old Wehrmacht, you know, with your tanks and panzer tanks lined along the Rhine River, just with Paris in your sights, and just getting ready to roll in and do the biggest land grab since, you know, 1939. For the record, are you trying to grab power and take power from the Democrats and set yourself up as, you know, Lord Emperor Greg Ballard, Emperor Palpatine, and then start building Death Stars?
I said it last night. I've said it to Jim Shella. I said it over at the State House. There's nothing that I'm in that bill that I would not be very comfortable with the Democratic mayor having. It really is just fair compared to the rest of the mayors in the state and the governor. That's really all I'm asking for. You're right when you said about the Unigov thing. It's time to reform, because all the all the sausage that was made 40 years ago on this thing and all the horse trading that was going on, you know, we got to a certain point, and it was like unlike anything else in the state. Now it's kind of like we want to move to what it is with the state. And I'd be very comfortable with a Democratic mayor having exactly the same level of responsibility or power, whatever you want to call it, that this has nothing to do with the short term. I've said this repeatedly, and people who know me know this well. I don't do anything for the short term. This is not for the short term. This is for the long-term health of the city of Indianapolis. That's it. That's just the way it is. And the mass transit thing, and people should not confuse this.
Just so the audience knows, there's some folks, some Democratic state lawmakers who say, well, if the mayor, you know, goes forward with 621, then we can't give him our support on mass transit because Republicans are divided. They need Democratic votes. And if 621 goes forward, we won't give mass transit, then mass transit will just be stuck at the bus station.
You got to ask, who does mass transit benefit the most? I mean, you got to ask that question. Whose constituency does this benefit the most? I'm the guy getting beat up in my own party because of this, because of mass transit. And I'm the guy that is driving it to make sure that we get there. And if they want to vote against it, they're voting against their own constituency. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, look at this thing. And if I'm not driving this for them, this is dead. There's nobody driving this. It has no chance of the state house. Zero. And yet we need better mass transit in the city. And for, you know, our people on the other side of the aisle to vote against their own constituency, it just boggles my mind. I mean, let's do the right thing by your people, right? I mean, that's really what this is about. So, I mean, I'm hoping people who are listening, call your state senator, call your state representative. I said that, I told that to everybody anyway. Call them and tell them that you want mass transit, better mass transit in the city of Indianapolis and the surrounding counties because we need it. I believe it. And you're not going to have a lot of people in my position, you know, with the, you know, the letter that I have behind my name pushing this thing. And now I'm here pushing it. But it's, I mean, let's be honest about whose constituency this is going to help the most. And I think we need it because I think it moves the city forward as a whole. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it. And again, long term. It's all long term. Everything I'm asking for is nothing but long term. I mean, you can disagree. You can say this. That's all nonsense. Just complete and utter nonsense. I would never do anything that did not help the long term health of the city.
One of the things, before we knock out a couple phone calls here, Mr. Mayor, that's popped up in the 621 / mass transit debate isn't so much the issue of the at-larges. I argue Indianapolis actually has more elected officials than city of Los Angeles.
Probably.
Yeah. Los Angeles, 4 million people, a council of...
And let's not forget the lawsuits in the 80s.
Yeah.
From the other side.
That people sued to get rid of the
at-larges.
Yeah. This is kind of goes to the budgeting. Under this legislation, what exactly would your budgeting authority be? Because the way some of my critics and counterparts have said is that, you know, this is the mayor basically, you know, reneging on budgets that are passed for other constitutional elected offices, sheriff, auditor, that you guys can go in, you can reduce their budgets, you know, without their saying, you know, the sheriff would have to let the prisoners go in the jail because the mayor didn't give them the money and criminals are on the streets and Billy Bro can't audit and Beth White can't hold the elections.
All nonsense.
And Julie can't survey whatever Julie Voorhees surveys.
That's all nonsense. There's one office holder. They all say, well, you're doing the Democratic office holder. I'm the only Republican office holder in the city, right? So, I mean, that's all kind of nonsense. But there is one office holder who's about $20 million over his allotted budget in the last 3 years. So what, at the end of the day, who's holding who responsible for the budget? Everybody looks to the mayor. And yet I have no control. I have no control. Separately elected office holders can do whatever they want and obligate the city, and I can't do anything about it. And even though we give them the budget that they asked for, they purposely overspend anyway. So what do you want me to do? Just continue to – I mean, it's the people who are listening. It's your tax money that's going to. And you have one guy who's purposely overspending routinely year after year after year, and it's bankrupting the city. And so, you know what? Long-term health of the city, like I say – you're ultimately going to hold the mayor responsible. So if you're going to do that, I need some controls to make sure that happens. And I'd be very comfortable with a Democratic mayor having exactly the same authority.
City County Council President Maggie Lewis, that clip sounds like the most breathtakingly bizarre utterance I've ever heard from an elected official in this city.
Absolutely. That's ridiculous. First of all, Senate Bill 621, I would be concerned if a Democrat mayor was requesting the same thing. It's about checks and balances. And him taking that authority away from the council, from the sheriff, I think it's ridiculous. We have to have checks and balances. Now, the mayor, you know, he has his position and council has his position. We all have to come to the table and compromise and have the conversation. This removes the council from the conversation. We are the legislative body, the fiscal agent, and we should have direct oversight over that budget.
One of the things this bill provides that the mayor said nothing about is it would force the sheriff and other county officers to have to apply for their budget once every 3 months. And the mayor said this is the same authority that mayors have and governors have. Bill Crawford, the governor, does not have the authority to parcel out dollars to the attorney general or the state auditor or the state treasurer or even his lieutenant governor.
You're correct, Amos. And when the mayor said that he wanted the same powers that other mayors in the state of Indiana have, he was historically inaccurate. There is no other mayor in the state of Indiana that once the council approves the budget, the mayor signs the budget. The mayor signs the budget. The mayor cannot then unilaterally go back, as is proposed in Senate Bill 621. Under their, there's a section in there called allotment. You cannot, when he talks about the sheriff, you remember the debate where the IMPD would arrest the person was injured, gets sick, goes to Wishart.
And Wishart sends the bill to the sheriff.
And the Wishart sends the bill to the sheriff. The sheriff didn't arrest them.
Mm-hmm.
The IMPD did.
Right.
But then they want, and I guess he calls that overspending. But there's something in the state called the State Board of Accounts.
Mm-hmm.
If an elected official or appointed official misuses public money, there have been numerous incidents where the State Board of Accounts has come in and made them pay the money back out of their pocket.
But isn't there also with these constitutional officers like the clerk, like the sheriff, like the prosecutor? In other words, if the prosecutor had made the decision to ask for the death penalty in the Richmond Hills case, that was going to be expensive. That's an unbudgeted expense, and that's something you can't apportion money out every 3 months and tell the prosecutor this is all the money you got to do when he's got a death penalty case, got to do what he's got to do. If all of a sudden the jails are filled and we got to go, the sheriff's got to buy jail space to put the bank robber in jail, you got to spend the money and find the money somewhere.
Exactly. And if the dollars aren't available, they come back to the legislative body and request those additional dollars.
The other thing the mayor talked about in all the public comments I've heard about mass transit, he's always talking about young professionals want mass transit. This is the first that I've ever heard the mayor said that do the right thing by your people. That's his exact words, which does not come across very well. This is the first time where he's basically saying Democrats must support him. And he basically said, I'm the one that's driving this. If he's the one driving this, I've not heard him go over to the legislature. I'm not, you know, he admitted that he's not getting support for mass transit from his own party, yet he's slapping Democrats in the face with this Unigov bill. Is he losing? It sounded like this was somebody that was losing touch with reality.
If he's driving this, he needs to come and have a conversation with us. He hasn't been over in District 7. He hasn't been in my neighborhood talking about mass transit. And so if he's the leader on this, let's have a conversation. Call me.
Yeah. And Amos, I would point out that if the bill passes, and I'm against the provisions of the bill, but if the bill passes, the ultimate determinant will be the people of Marion County,
mm-hmm.
all the people of Marion County, through a referendum. There will be an 18-month gap between the passage of the bill and the referendum, which will be in November mm-hmm. of next year. The people, you have the right to speak, and it's we the people. We the people. So the mayor doesn't have to come and talk to me. He has to talk to an elected official. But I am a voter of Marion County, and I intend to vote in the referendum, and I'm going to weigh what they have done and what kind of thing I'm voting for. In addition, I will point out, and I hope no one takes offense at this, the council and the mayor in the budget that was for this year, for 13, gave Indigo a $6 million excess levy mm-hmm. off the property tax.
Right.
People picked up $6 million additional dollars to help Indigo mm-hmm. create more efficiencies.
Right.
So the people have spoken in favor of mass transit, and we all supported that.
One final thing, Bill Crawford, in the days after Robert Kennedy's speech, in the days after Dr. King's death, when other cities were ablaze, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is the mayor of this city then, Dick Lugar, literally was everywhere in this community, particularly in the black community, reaching out, talking, dialogue, taking a pulse, you know, hearing from people, trying to keep a lid on things. Is that perception correct?
Absolutely, Amos. And you cannot dialogue.
And not only talking to people in the suites, he was talking to the gut bucket street, radical, revolutionary.
at the street level. And I was one of the, I was a member then of the Black Radical Action Project.
He was a radical then.
Black Radical Action Project. We wore the dashikis, had the big froze. If there was to be a match list lit in the city, we would have been one of the ones that would have done that.
I don't want to be misconstrued, and I don't want to come across wrong, but if Dick Lugar had had the kind of attitude that you just heard on that tape, would Indianapolis have been that peaceful?
I doubt it. I cannot go back and change history, but I doubt very seriously. It was the sincerity of Senator Kennedy's remarks, and I did not know that Dr. King had been assassinated as I stood there in front of that truck where the flatbed that he spoke from.
Right.
I was not aware that Bobby Kennedy had been assassinated. I was shocked when I heard it. I was angry, but then when he, in a sincere fashion, shared those remarks and pointed out that his brother had been killed by an assassin's bullet, it caused us to think we would betray Bobby Kennedy and Dr. Martin Luther King, who gave his life in pursuit of nonviolence. And so it was sincerity. If the mayor had not been open and sincere, and able, even if we couldn't reach an accommodation or agreement, the fact that we sat down at the table would have been important.
And there's a hearing tomorrow, Council President Lewis, 9:30 in the State House, in the basement, in room 156. It's a hearing on the Unigov grab. Are you testifying?
Yes, sir. I'll be there to testify.
So we would assume, since the mayor is driving this, that he's going to be testifying?
Well, we'll find out. I'm not sure.
Mayor, if you're listening, you ought to testify. And this is at the State House, so this will be like live on the internet.
And I encourage everyone, if you have any concerns about this, that you actually show up and share your concerns tomorrow at 9:30.
9:30. It is on Senate Bill 621, the Unigov power grabber, as the mayor said, I'd be comfortable with anybody. There's nothing in this. This is not short term. This is long term. I'm playing the long game. Didn't explain what was in the bill. Said it's the same powers that any mayor in the state has, which is not
wrong.
True.
Not true.
Same powers as the governor. The governor wish he had those kind of powers. Anyway, but if you Thursday, Kennedy King Park, 5 to 6:30, the governor will be there. John Lewis, if he's not there, the DVD will be there of John Lewis and other folks. Be there. Because the weather's supposed to be good and everything, but actually may warm up a little bit. Bill Crawford, the City County Council President Maggie Lewis. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.